All right. I want to talk to you in general about how grace is going to come for ignorance, but not for willful disobedience. And it's pretty interesting revelations here I want to share with you. This first one is by Missy Pollack, and she received this on the 12th of January, 2017. And she said, I was staying in a dorm room of a medical school with my brother. Well, a medical school, if you considered that her brother here was ordained minister, the medical school could be a play on words here. It can represent apostate Christianity because they teach healing by drugs, which is the meaning of pharmakia, to save people instead of the Jesus of the apostles and the apostles' method of faith and prayer. And pharmakia is translated witchcraft in the Bible. Apostate church is in rebellion, and we're told in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And she went on to say that my brother has his ordination, quote unquote, although he hasn't used it very much. He represents apostate leadership, or apostate Jerusalem, I would say, which is the leadership of God's people. It's a type in the Bible. So you can see how this could represent pharmakia. We were roomed with another woman, and she believes that the other woman is the backslidden church. My brother took a gun and shot her in the head. I didn't hear a shot, because it's really not a physical shot at all. She has, in parentheses, minds deadened by receiving doctrines of demons through men. I agree with that. That's where much of the church is. It's totally dead to the scriptures, totally incapable of renewing the mind with the Word of God. Too much of the Word of God has to be rejected, so basically they don't read it. And what I would say here is that the harlot and her false prophet leadership are guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. If you sit under them for very long, you'll be dead to the Word of God too. After that, he was in a hurry to get out of the room so that no one found out what he did. Well, they're not going to take the blame for the destruction of apostate Christianity. I saw that the woman was still alive. I panicked and didn't know what to do, so I left the room. Well, Missy came out from among them. I believe that's what this represents. I was thinking I have to call 911, but I knew I couldn't do that because I don't believe in witchcraft or pharmakia. I knew I couldn't just leave her there to die, so I went back in to help her. All right, going back in to help is something we believe is about to happen in a major way. And that was the end of the dream. She said, could the fact that I left the room and not very long after that I went back in to help her be a timing thing? Well, I would say, yeah. As in a very relatively short time, we are going to be going in and ministering to backslidden Christians in a revival. That's right. And demonstrating the gifts of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so on. And many are going to be converted. And she has there the Lord reviving the almost dead church. True. True. I think that's exactly what this is all about. The Lord gave me this verse by faith at random for the dream. Zechariah 1:15. In context, from 12 to 17. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Well, apostate Jerusalem was taken into captivity, and Judah was taken into captivity to Babylon, and God didn't have mercy to bring them back to their land, which is their promised land, the living on the promises of God, you know. And, but here you have the end of it, 70 years. How come you've not had mercy on them for these 70 years? Is the question. So 70 years is how long the people of God were in Babylon captivity. And the end of these years here represents freedom from Babylonish religious captivity for God's people. That's a good thing. Praise God. Oh, praise you, Lord. And yes, we are near. This is what this revelation is about. God is going to set His people free. How else would a lot of the people that are God's people who are caught up in different denominational sects follow the man-child into the wilderness? There's going to be a revival, just like the revival Jesus did, which gathered the elect out of natural Israel. And the man-child in our day is going to have a revival too, by the grace of God who lives in him, to do the same thing. Bring people out of the denominations. Remember, Jesus called the called out ones, which is the church, ecclesia. These are the called out ones. What were they called out of? Those denominations. They came out and followed Jesus. It was a gift of God. And this time the same thing's going to happen. Verse 13, And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words, even comfortable words. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I'm jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Praise the Lord. God is turning His attention back to His people. Their time in captivity is over, and it's time for Him to pay attention to them and bring grace to them. And He also said, you know, in Hosea, in the end of chapter 5, that He was going to forsake His people until the morning of the third day, chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3. And praise God, here we are. And basically, He's left the church up to their own stubborn Babylonish ways. They're in bondage to Babylon, right? Verse 15, And I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease, for I was just but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. Oh, praise God, folks. This is what we've been praying for. You've been praying for the brethren who are in captivity through their Babylonish ways, their preachers, and so on and so forth. The Lord is going to have mercy. Praise God. And we had some real good confirmations to this mercy, too, as I'll share with you in a few minutes. My house shall be built in it. Lord, praise God. The real temple, not those buildings, you know, and their carnal ideas about what Christianity is all about. Says the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth over Jerusalem. So, returning to apostate church after the Babylonish religious captivity with mercy is what Missy did, and the Lord will do, right? Verse 17, Cry yet again, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities shall yet overflow with prosperity, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Okay. So if you remember that the kingdom in the Old Testament of Jerusalem over the rest of the body of Israel with David on the throne. That is the kingdom that God is reproducing in the Spirit for the church. And I know people only apply this stuff here to natural Israel, but this is the New Testament, and we're told that that Israel now is a person who is circumcised in heart, not in flesh. And, of course, most of the church haven't realized that yet. But they will. And today, January the 15th, 2017, I began to look at this dream after we began our morning prayer meeting, in which we received these texts that I'm going to share with you by faith at random, which confirm it and tell the story of who will escape and who will not. There's judgment coming. Not only is grace and mercy coming, but judgment coming. And some are going to escape this. Eve Brast received Psalm 85 and 1 this day. And in context, we're going to use 1 through 13 verse. Psalm 85:1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. How's that for a confirmation? Brought back the captivity of Jacob. And this is a wonderful time, folks. I don't know why so many out there want to fly away. This is a time when we can be used by God to redeem our brethren, to give mercy, to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, do all the things that the early disciples did, and will do again. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Oh, praise God. You know, because they've gone through their chastening. Now they need enlightenment very badly, and that's why the reformers are coming. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Oh, praise God. Think about that. Pause and think about that. He's covered all their sins. He departed and left them to their wicked and foolish ways that departed from the Scriptures, well, while they built their golden calf and worshipped it as Jehovah or Yahweh. And now He said, okay, that's enough. I'm bringing them in. Running out of time, too, by the way. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine indignation towards us to cease. Amen, Lord. We pray this. We pray this prayer right here, Lord. We ask you to have mercy and grace upon your people who have been in long captivity. And they need deliverance from Babylonish religion, the harlot. Please help, Lord. Send your grace. Send your man child. Send our Lord Jesus Christ to do the work that he said he was personally going to do in Ezekiel 34, using the David ministries. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not quicken us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Quicken means make alive. There's a lot of dead Christians out there, folks. They don't know it, but they don't have the power of God. They don't have the Word of God coming out of their mouth. They don't even know there's an opportunity for Christ to live in them 30, 60, and 100-fold. And they've been twisted, their words of God has been twisted and tweaked to make it easy to be in the kingdom. And so their churches fill up with lost people. So that thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy loving kindness or thy mercy. Has some good verses about mercy. God pouring out his mercy on his people. O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. You know what God's salvation looks like? Christ in you. Because no one is entering into heaven that hadn't descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man. Right? So, that's what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance from sin and separated unto God, right? I will hear what God will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, Father, in the world, there seems to be everything but peace. So that means that God's people are going to have to enter into your rest, even seeing these things in the world. That means they're going to have faith in order to enter into the rest. They're going to have your gift of faith, Father. Thank you. Thank you. But let them not turn again to folly. Yes, I know people that do this, have done this, and the second time around is much worse. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. The fear of the Lord will cause you to tremble at his word. It will cause you to search his word to make sure that you're not in apostasy, where most of God's people are. That glory may dwell in our land. The glory, of course, is Christ. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. It's Christ. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springeth out of the earth. Truly, God is raising up a Son of Man in the earth today, a corporate Son of Man, in whom Christ is going to speak. He is the truth. And righteousness hath looked down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. There's going to be a great fruit bearing in these days. An awesome fruit bearing in these days. Pray, saints, pray. Pray and believe God. That's what's going to bring it to pass. You know, when Daniel studied the words of Jeremiah about the 70 years, he set himself to pray to bring to pass what he saw was prophesied. So do it. Right? Here we are. Here we are. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. His footsteps a way to walk in. Let anyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. That's what the Bible says. His footsteps are a way to walk in. There is no other way to walk in. We are Christians, which means Christ-like. And yet the church has interpreted that far, far differently. The church is making heroes out of the pastors, for goodness sake. If they don't look like Christ and they don't have the power of Christ, you're supposed to walk away from them. That's what Paul said. Isaiah 62:4 was the other verse that she got. She said her finger was on delighteth. Delighteth. And 4 and 5, Isaiah 62. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Glory to God. Well, I can say, looking at most of the church, it's forsaken of the God who did the works that he did at the beginning of our covenant. And also in Hosea 5, at the end of that chapter, it's very clear that he said he was going to forsake them until the morning of the third day. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Desolate would mean forsaken of God. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Glory to God. You know, your land is like your body, right? We were made from the dust of the earth, right? I shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. So the sons will marry thee. What does that mean? You know, Paul said, you have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel. In other words, he didn't sow his own seed. He sowed the seed of God. And the sons who sow the seed are sons of God. And therefore, their seed is his seed. So, there you go. And Anna Stewart got Ezekiel 20 and 40. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, says the Lord, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them, serve me in the land. Does this mean everybody that calls themselves an Israelite? No, it's who truly is an Israelite. And according to the circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh. It's not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, right? But the children of the promise that are the children of God, meaning the children that believe the promise. You must believe the new covenant promise to be a child of God. I'm sorry if that messes up your theology. It's very, very simple. There will I accept them. Where? The mountain of the height of Israel. There will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations. The first fruits company is going to come first with all your holy things. The first fruits are a wave offering. They are offered up to God and received back. Right? And Salaki Sap received Psalms 136, 1 through 9. And this is magnifying the mercy that God said he was going to give. We get many confirmations. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness, or his mercy, endureth forever. I was telling the brethren just before she got this about the things that are coming and how even in the midst of the things that we've heard are coming, you know, the earthquakes and the volcanic activity and the tsunamis and the darkening of the sun and all these things. In all of this, God's going to have mercy. He always does. It's usually not as bad as a lot of people have seen. Okay, that's still bad. He's going to impress us with his anger against sin. Okay, but he has to grant repentance. He has to grant the fear of the Lord, or we can't do anything about it. We'll just continue on in our sins. And he's going to do that. Praise God. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. For his loving kindness endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness, or his mercy, endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his loving kindness endureth forever. To him that by understanding made the heavens, for his loving kindness, or his mercy, endureth forever. To him that spread forth the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Remember this. There is always going to be the mercy of God. Always. Even in judgment, he's merciful, even though we don't deserve it. To him that spread forth the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his loving kindness endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Or his mercy endureth forever. The great thing about it is that the Son of Man bore the penalty of the sins of God's people. But, of course, we know that he didn't do this for willful disobedience. when people know something's wrong and they're going to do it, counting on God's mercy, they have bought the lie that's in the churches out there. Because Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Meaning, you have to take the penalty for your sins. The Lord didn't take the penalty for your sins. Meaning, you're going to get a whipping. Basically, that's what it's saying. And some people never come out of this. They die this way. And others repent and turn. Okay. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So don't expect the covenant right of the sacrifice of sins. He said there will become a fearful expectation of judgment if you're willfully disobeying God. And a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Yeah, the fierceness of fire. Now, Don Laughlin received Ezekiel 4. 1 through 17, and I'm going to read that to you. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it a city, even Jerusalem. Son of man. You know this term, son of man, Jesus used, right? And we said that we were going to talk about the son of man bearing the penalty for the sins of God's people. And that's what this is about. If you pay close attention, you'll see that. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, lay it before thee, and portray upon it a city, even Jerusalem. And lay siege against it, and build forts against it. All of that which is done. They were taken into captivity because this was done, and they lost the battle. Because they rebelled against God, God did not defend them, and they were taken into captivity to Babylonish religion, and they lost their battle. But the Lord here is a sacrifice for this, you'll see in just a minute. And cast up a mound against it, and set camps also against it, and plant battering rams against it round about. It's under siege. The bride, by the way, has been under siege. And I believe the bride, those who are the bride, and the elect bride, are overcoming. And the rest are not. Because the devil battles against the people, and those who have on their armor, and those who fight the good fight of the faith will win every time. But those who listen to false thoughts and vanities are going to lose the battle, proving that they're not the bride. Okay? And take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. And set thy face toward it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. Of course, the devil uses sin as a temptation to fight against God's people, to cause them to fail. He doesn't want them to overcome, because then they become a vessel that is a threat to his kingdom. So he fights against this. Of course, those who value the word of God and value the Lord as king, they will overcome. When they fear God, they will overcome. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Moreover, lie thou upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. You got that? A son of man is bearing their iniquity. Representing the people of God, representing even the New Testament people of God, because all of these are parables that are applied to us. For I have appointed the years of their iniquity to be unto thee a number of days, even 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. Now, I'm not looking at here the prophetic thing. I'm looking at the fact that the Lord bore the iniquity of his people so they could be set free. And if you have willful disobedience, you're not partaken of the benefit of his sacrifice. Okay. And again, when thou hast accomplished these, thou shalt lie on thy right side, and shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, each day for a year have I appointed it unto thee. Now, that there's the house of David, there's the house of Judah. You know, that was Jerusalem, the bride. Judah represents the spirit-filled Christians, the spirit-filled Christians. Out of those, by the way, there are people who are leaders, which is Jerusalem. There is apostate Jerusalem, which is the apostate leadership of God's people. And then there is overcoming Jerusalem, which is the bride. Okay? So there's two parables in the Bible we can look at. And, of course, when God's people failed and were taken into captivity, they were apostates, right? So 40 days, each day for a year, have I appointed it unto thee, and thou shalt set thy face towards the siege of Jerusalem with thine arm uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. So arm uncovered, I believe, represents showing the might of the Lord. Thine arm uncovered. And of course, Jerusalem is besieged by her enemies, the devil and all of his, and all of those vessels through whom the devil and all of his move against God's people. But God's going to show his might at the end of the time and deliver his people. And behold, I lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to the other, till thou hast accomplished the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat, and barley, and beans, and lentils, and millet, and spelt, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, even 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy food which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time thou shalt eat it. And thou shalt drink water by measure, the sixth part of a hin, or a pint. From time to time shalt thou drink, and thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it in their sight, with dung that cometh out of a man. Ooh. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations whither I will drive them. Now, that thing about the dung, we're going to run into it again as I share another revelation with you in a minute. Dung represents waste. It represents sin, right? It's uncleanness. Then said I, Ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn by beasts, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, See, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung. In other words, okay, I'll give you this replacement here. And thou shalt prepare thy bread thereon. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with fearfulness. And they shall drink water by measure and in dismay, that they may want bread and water. Think about that now. Yeah, they've been starving to death, so that they will want the bread of life, which is the Word of God, and the water of the washing of the Word, you know, and be dismayed one with another, and pine away in their iniquity. In other words, he wants them to be dissatisfied in Babylonish captivity, so that they'll come out from among them, right? Amen. when Jesus was resurrected as the man child, spiritually, and the Spirit was poured out on the apostate Israel of all nations in Acts chapter 2, Judas, as an Edomite or Esau's seed, who sold his birthright, hanged himself. He didn't make it to that point. He didn't get to receive of that great blessing because he had hanged himself. He was reprobated, right? So let me point out some, I'm continuing with the verses that we've received because God's pointing out something. Some people are not going to be able to partake of this grace. Sue Gilbert got Psalm 55, 9 through 15. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Iniquity also and mischief are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Oppression and guile depart not from its streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. You'll probably recognize prophecies about Jesus and Judas here. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. You know, all of the factious leaders were that to me. They were my companions, my familiar friends. They ate my bread and lifted up their heels against me. And it's still that way around the world. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the throng. Let death come suddenly upon them. Let them go down alive into Sheol, or death, right? Place of the dead. For wickedness is in their dwelling, in the midst of them. Well, Judas, as a type of the larger factious body, I would say, who crucified the man-child, missed out on the outpouring at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, because he lost his life just before that. He destroyed himself before that by his own hand. And of course, the Judases of our day, as I've taught very clearly from the Bible, is a corporate body of people whose first job is to crucify the man-child. Okay? And so we're seeing it happen. If you think the end time is near, you know what's going on. You can look and see who Judas is and who the man-child is. Because it has to be happening. This is the time. The dragon is seeking to devour the man-child, right? So here's words given in our morning prayer and study meeting. Shalonda, on the 13th, received this. And I'll just tell you ahead of time that David comes to power, and factious Edomites, who are Esau's seed, who do not repent, are taken down. This judgment against the faction and the leader could well fit Trump's situation with Obama and his CIA and communist troops trying to take him out, too. I mean, these people do not believe in democracy, do they? The vote has happened, and yet they think, just by their rebellion against law and demanding that they get what they want outside the vote, of course, shows that they're just a bunch of communists, left-wing communists. And we thank you, Father, for overthrowing them. Just like this. Not only that, but overthrowing the faction that's against the man-child. We thank you, Lord, by these verses that we're receiving right here, that you have the plan, and you're telling us at this time you're going to overthrow this. Thank you, Lord. So pray for Trump, because the CIA is definitely trying to kill him. They're plotting to kill him. And they've done it before with presidents, by the way. So Ezekiel 35 and 1 is what Shalonda got. And down through 15. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it. That's the Edomites, right? And the Esau's people, right? And say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir. That was their capital, right? And I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. Watch out, folks. I'm telling you, just watch what's going to happen. You can see the Edomites out there. They hate their brethren. They're radical anarchists, just like their daddy in Washington, D.C. And they don't care what you vote for. Even if they cheated and lost while they cheated, they don't care that you voted for this, because they don't believe in democracy. Muslims don't believe in democracy, and they're the most factious people on the face of the earth. Okay? And they make great Christians, because they've lived under a lot of misery. And there's a great revival going on right now among them, turning to Christianity. Praise God. And it's going to get better. verse 4. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Oh-ho! So he's going to reveal himself to them, and he is doing it. And by the way, their cities are being laid desolate, are they not? That's the natural parable. The spiritual one is what's happening with the man-child, right? Because thou hast had a perpetual enmity, and hast given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end. That's got to be close to us, right? Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee. In other words, I'm going to give you a taste of your medicine until you're sick of it and you turn away from it. See, that's what's happening to the Edomites, the Ishmaelites. They're receiving so much blood and so much destruction. There is no peace in their life, no love in their life, nothing but hatred and murder and strife. And when they hear about the gospel, the good news that Jesus took their sins away, forgave them of their sins if they will forgive their brethren their sins, some of them who have their eyes opened by the grace of the Lord turn to Him. Hallelujah. And it's happening. Thus will I make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation. Mount Seir now is the head of the Edomite Empire. And I will cut off from it him that passeth through and him that returneth. And I will fill its mountains with its slain. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy watercourses shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee a perpetual desolation. Well, you know, here's the thing. If your position is that of an Edomite, that can be destroyed. You can become a Christian. You can be something that was an Edomite but repented and turned to the Lord. See? Then that old Edomite kingdom has been destroyed, right? So God can do this. And He's going to bring some very, very grateful people out of Islam to worship the Lord. And they're going to be great witnesses, fearless witnesses. And thy cities shall not be inhabited, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, we will possess it. See, that's what the Edomites want to do, is take over Israel. Take that land, Israel and Judah, take that. And that's what the faction in Christianity, they wanted to take over UBM. From the very beginning, they've tried to take over UBM. They're not qualified, but it makes no difference. When demons enter in, people's head just swells up. They become everything that they want to be, you know. So, whereas the Lord was there. In other words, hey, you think you can take it over? Well, the Lord is there. Trouble, right? Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast showed out of thy hatred against them. Amen. So their own selfish ambition and hatred for their brethren is all going to come back on their head. When you reap what you sow, you learn not to sow it. Right? If you know you're going to reap what you sow, you learn not to sow it. And I will make myself known among them when I shall judge thee. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have heard all thy revilings which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel. Because these Edomites, these Ishmaelites, they're reviling God by reviling His kingdom. Right? They are laid desolate. They are given us to devour. They're saying, okay, we can take them now, boys. But you didn't know that God was there. Uh-oh. Big deal. And you have magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and have multiplied your words against me. See, they thought they were just fighting against men, but Jesus said, whatsoever you do the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, and I have heard it. Thus saith the Lord, when the whole earth rejoiceth. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be surprised at how many people rejoice when, because everybody's a little anxious and a little trembling, they can see Obama and his criminals are trying to stop this thing in any way possible. But when this thing actually does come to pass and Trump is actually in office, you're going to see some rejoicing. I will make thee, that is Edom, desolate, as thou didst rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edom, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, the Bible talks a lot of places of the complete desolation and destruction of Edom, and there's actually people who only know the letter that think that Israel is going to wipe out the Palestinians. And there's not going to be one of them left, because that's what the Bible says. And they believe that's what that wall is for, so they can go over there and just wipe them out, and there won't be one of them left. No, this is that they're seeing the letter, and that's not it. It's the Spirit. Okay? They're blind. So, and then I received something very similar. Psalm 49:7-22. You can't imagine that this is not confirmations. You know, I get dreams and visions, and they sit there until I either have time or feel led to go and search them out. And when I do, we've had all these confirmations of them, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Jeremiah 49:7. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Folks, if you dealt with factious people who were rejected by God, turned over to the devil because they justified their sins and because they did evil and didn't forgive their brethren, and God turned them over to this, we call them the stupid demons, because that's what impresses us about them, that they're so stupid and these people don't realize it. They don't even realize it. And that's what God is saying here, the same thing. Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I shall visit him. So this is a visitation. The Lord is coming to square off with Edom or Esau. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, would they not destroy till they had enough? But I have made Esau bare. In other words, you stripped him all the way down to nothing. Oh, praise God, we don't need this evil in the world, in the churches. We don't need it. I have uncovered his secret places. In other words, all the things, all the deceptions, all the delusions that they do to try to trick the people of God, all the thefts, all the lies, all the slander, it's all going to come out. And he shall not be able to hide himself. That's what these people do. They cannot ever confess any sin. They never confess sin. Have you noticed? Doesn't matter if you're talking about the Arabs or the Muslims or these Christian Edomites. They cannot and do not ever confess sin. It's always your fault, no matter what. You can show them the verse and it won't make any difference. It's your fault, no matter what. That's what demons do. They make people stupid, not being able to be reasonable at all. He'll not be able to hide himself. His seed is destroyed, and his brethren and his neighbors. Because, listen, when a person in a family gets this demon, they can't wait to destroy their whole family. And you can sit back and look at it and say, oh my God, what a shame. This disease is going to spread in their family. And it does. It takes them out. They destroy their home, old family. And he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. Why are they fatherless? Because their parents are dead. Not physically, spiritually. They're dead. Leave them. Leave them alone. Go away from them. That's the only way they can live. I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me. Widows, because the old man is dead. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they to whom it pertained not to drink of the cup, in other words, they watched the attacks on Israel and upon Judah and cheered on the beast in those regards, and these people thought, well, they weren't going to partake of the cup. They weren't going to drink of the cup of suffering, you know. Shall assuredly drink. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah shall become an astonishment. Bozrah, of course, is the sheepfold in Edom. It's their little congregations. One woman that we knew before she fell into faction, her and her husband, had a dream that this group of people that was in their house all died. And even her husband died. She walked in her house, everybody was dead. Well, the thing was, she fell into faction, he fell into faction, and they destroyed these people. And they were dead to the scriptures. No longer were they alive to God. onto their selfish ambition. And all they wanted to do was destroy the kingdom of God everywhere, thinking that they were doing God a favor. Yeah. So it's an astonishment, a reproach, a waste, a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. And it's true. I mean, look, they can't have enough of killing each other. Slight differences in their Islamic faith, they just murder each other. And of course, every Christian is their enemy. And they've wiped them out across the Middle East, and Obama's been right behind them to do it and supplied them to do it because he's an Antichrist. An Antichrist, not the Antichrist. And I've heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, "Gather yourselves together and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For behold, I have made thee small among the nations and despised among men." Hey, have you noticed what's happening with Trump and Putin? They're agreeing to march through the Middle East and get rid of ISIS. Hey, that kind of fits, doesn't it? And I was hoping that the Revelation 6 and 3 war was actually that. That would be the mercy of God. Instead of Russia and America fighting each other, them fighting to get rid of this terrible disease on humanity, right? And, by the way, this judgment going throughout the Middle East, judgments against Edom, is going to cause a lot of them to turn to the Lord. A great mass of them are going to turn to the Lord when they find out their God don't answer. "As for thy terribleness, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from hence, says the Lord, and Edom shall become an astonishment." You know, Petra, the city in the clefts of the rock, is an Edomite city, or was an Edomite city. "And Edom shall become an astonishment. Everyone that it passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah." There is no more corrupt people. I'm talking about people who fall into every kind of immorality and every kind of sin. Disgusting sin. They judge people who have never fallen into the sins that they've fallen into. "And the neighboring," and just as hypocritical as they can be while they judge others, you know. "And the neighboring cities thereof," says the Lord, "no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation." The Lord will do this. "For I will suddenly make them run away from it, and whosoever is chosen, him will I appoint over it, for who is like me?" Who is like me? He said, you know what? David, who was after God's own heart, conquered the Edomites after he was anointed king. So who was appointed over it? David, the man-child. "And who will appoint me a time? Who is the shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom and his purposes, that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock." Bozrah. "Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them." Remember, the Lord came from Bozrah when his garments were dyed red from his warfare against the Edomites. When the Lord comes, that's prophesied in Isaiah. "And the earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea." Well, why is he comparing this to the Red Sea? Because at the Red Sea, God destroys the enemies of Israel. He wipes them out. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. That's that sheepfold of Edom. And the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Okay, I'll ask this question. Who will escape the flood of destruction? Well, Shalonda Kelton, on the 13th, received this revelation. She said, in this first dream, Anna and I were getting some shoes because we were leaving. And I believe that they were leaving for the wilderness tribulation. In the dream, I had a feeling that all of UBM was getting ready to leave to go somewhere. That's the only thing I think. I said, they're going to the wilderness tribulation. There was a field with grass. Well, we know that Jesus said the field is the world, and all flesh is as grass. Okay? And it was flooded, so a judgment came against the flesh, to the point where you didn't want to walk on it. The earthquakes and the floods that are predicted, I believe, is what we're talking about here. There was this big tree with roots sticking out of the floodwaters. Well, you remember in Daniel's revelation, the big tree of the king of Babylon that was cut down. It was taken down in his craziness, right? Anna and I had to get to the other side of the field to get some things. So how do we travel in a world where the Edomites are being taken down, right? So Anna grabbed a vine from the tree and swung across the field. No Tarzan Anna. She was still pregnant. Oh my. Well, I think this means that the man-child ministry will be born on the cruise ship, as a previous dream said. After the boat has lifted off, the judgments are falling. The earthquakes are happening. And the man-child shows up. Because God comes in the midst of this to bring revival. Right? She said to me, that was a vine, wasn't it? I said, yeah. Because I had a sense that that kind of a tree didn't have vines. So what's the point here? Well, I guess God will pass us supernaturally through the Red Sea. The Babylonish king tree won't make it. Right? That's right. He died in the Red Sea. Pharaoh died in the Red Sea. Anna wanted me to try on a pair of maternity UGG boots. Now, I had to look up UGG boots because I didn't know what an UGG boot was, you know. I've seen them. Now that I've looked them up, I said, oh, that's an UGG boot. Oh, yeah. So why would she be wanting to put on a maternity UGG boots? Well, because Shalonda is pregnant with the Word of God. Nothing physical, but the Word of God. The first pair were a tan brown, and they didn't fit. The second pair were light green color that had a 6 with a line under it on the bottom of the shoe for a shoe size. Well, I guess 6 is the number of man, so that one probably won't fit either, right? And it's actually, that's something we got to outgrow, right? A size 6 won't last very long. If you outgrow the number 6, you're outgrowing man. That's what we're here for, to outgrow man, right? And I was thinking, I don't want to wear maternity UGG boots. I might be pronouncing that wrong. I don't know. I'm just looking at the spelling. And I was hoping they didn't fit. There was also a little girl with us, but I don't remember why she was there. I believe that she could be Shalonda's spiritual man. They're always there, you know. You don't necessarily see them, but they're there. Then the dream changed, and I was sitting in a house at a table talking to Sila. She had made some tea and put it into a container. The top wasn't on tight, so the tea spilled out a little when she was trying to carry it. Then Sila decided to get a big plastic jug to put tea and milk in it. It looked like she put more milk than tea. Well, Shalonda didn't know it, but Sila does mix milk and her tea. Always little confirmations like that make you happy that you've heard from the Lord, right? Well, I think that tea is a stimulant like the Holy Spirit. And milk is the knowledge of the Word, right? Of course, we know that meat also is doing the Word, right? So, we want to make sure not to be a leaky vessel. We must put the Word to use so that it becomes a permanent part of us, so we're not a leaky vessel. Lots of people hear the Word, and if they don't immediately start doing it or have a conscience of it and start acting upon it, they lose it until the next time it passes by like a bird, and they do the same thing. And these people never grow up. They never grow up in the Lord. If you're not determined to be a disciple of Jesus and obey His Word, you're going to waste a lot of time, and at the end you will not have borne fruit, and you'll be cast forth into outer darkness. It's hard to say. While she was doing that, I had gotten a text from my mom asking me if I was looking for a job. Well, mom could represent the apostate church. At first I thought that she had said something else because the words were not spelled correct in the text. Well, the church is full of textual mistakes of the word, and so there's Babylon, which means confusion. There's confusion. They're believing one thing, and the Bible says something else, so there's confusion. So when I figured out what she said, I said, oh, that's what she meant. I had told Sila what happened, and Sila said, while mixing the tea and the milk, that I should stand up to my mom. And I do believe this is coming, folks. A lot of people are going to stand up and come out from among them. They're going to stand up and say, this is not scriptural, you're not helping, we need help, etc. I said, no, I think I will just delete the text. But Sila said, while walking to put something away in the kitchen, where spiritual food of the Word is processed, right? You process spiritual food, right? Which was behind a white wall, which represents separation or sanctification by the Word, right? She said, I still think you should stand up to her. And I say everybody should stand up against apostate Christianity or the apostate sects of the people of God. They are factions, by the way, of the people of God. You should stand up against that. Jesus said, I pray that they may be one as we are one. He said that to the Father. Stand up against their apostasy, their disregarding the Word of God. They are a golden calf. They believe it's the Lord. It's not. In this part, and by the way, that was the God they worshipped in Egypt, right? In this part of the dream, too, I felt that Sila was getting ready to leave like all of UBM for, I believe, the wilderness tribulation. And in this second dream, Merlene was on a big computer with a black screen with gray text. She was typing on it, but the letters came out like symbols instead of words. And, of course, Merlene has very symbolical revelations, you know, that she types up. I was looking at scriptures across from her. And then Merlin came because I saw the number 144 and I wanted to show her. Of course, we're waiting for that 144, which is the man-child ministry, to start. I knew it meant the man-child, and Merlin had said that she liked that number. So I started showing her different scriptures in the Bible about the man-child, and Daniel popped up. Well, Daniel, the man-child, advised kings and led the people of God, right? So then I happened to turn around and lamb chops. Now, I don't know how this child knows about lamb chops because that's a long time ago. Maybe she saw them when she was very young. Reruns or something, I don't know. But she said, I happened to turn around and lamb chops play along was playing live. Lamb chop was talking to this boy, and she was wearing a Hawaiian shirt with sand behind her. Behind the boy was water and an octopus on the left side above his head. Well, lamb chops is a lamb puppet, right? Wikipedia is written, Lamb Chops Play Along is an American half-hour preschool children's television series that was shown on PBS in the United States from 1991 until 1997. It was created and hosted by puppeteer Sherry Lutis and featured her puppet character, Lamb Chop. Well, now, my thought on this is for a lamb to be chops, it has to lose its life. Like Jesus and those who die with him. Right? Lamb Chop was wearing a Hawaiian shirt with the beach behind her. We've been told we would go on a cruise with Hawaiian weather. And that has been in a lot of dreams, you know, about the cruise, the breaking up of the land of the United States. Ship-sized piece of land, not size, but shaped piece of land in which a refuge was, right? So this is all obvious to us. You know, we've heard so much about this and had many dreams and revelations about it. And so Lamb Chop's got an Hawaiian shirt on. That's the people that, by the way, lost their life in order to gain their life. This is what Jesus commanded. You don't do that in apostasy. You just keep the old same old life. You just keep believing what men say. You just keep on with your foolishness, right? Who's going to escape here? Lamb chop. Yeah. Okay, here's another one that was given to Shalanda on the 8th of this month. It's all about reformation and real meat. There's a reformation coming. A sudden and powerful and miraculous reformation coming. Now, the reformations of the past, they were just kind of little steps along the way. This is a giant step. She said, in this dream, I was talking to a man about something, maybe religion. The man walked into a room before he closed the door. I saw a bed and the lights were off. And after a few minutes, the man opened the bedroom door dressed like Martin Luther. So, a Reformation, right? And was talking about what the Lutherans believed. Okay, so if you just use this as a parable, the reformer of the Catholic or Universal Church or New World Order Church, which is a conglomeration of a bunch of apostate religions and stands for nothing, nothing holy, that is. But he was a reformer of this, and he discovered it because he started reading the Bible, which is a dangerous thing if you're a Catholic to read the Bible. You won't last long. I know. I was there. The Lutherans believed back then that the righteous shall live by faith. That was Martin Luther's main revelation. And, of course, the Catholic Church is all full of works, you know, worshiping of saints, a bunch of silly stuff, a bunch of ceremony to replace fact. They look nothing like the Church of the Bible. And if you're a Catholic and you're offended, go read the New Testament. You're warned at the end of the book not to add to or take away from the words of the book, or the curses of the book will be upon you. So if you're living under the curses, wonder why. Go read the book. So history is about to repeat. There's a reformation coming, and reformers are coming. The man-child is the reformer this time to the apostate church. And oh, it will be so good, because people love freedom. They just don't know that they want it, or what it is, or where to go to get it. God's going to fix all that. The dream switched to me being on a crowded bus in Chicago reading my Bible. So here she bumps into this reformer and gets a dose. And now she's on a crowded bus in Chicago reading her Bible. Which, by in a way, that happened to her, because that's where she lived before she came here. Then a man came and started going through my Bible, pointing at the scriptures I highlighted, and was yelling and railing about them to me. Well, what the Reformed Church will believe will be a bone of contention to the Mother Harlot Church. They persecuted the Protestants fervently, sometimes unto death. And this new Catholic Church, by the way, is not the old Catholic Church, Catholic being universal. They joined together because Constantine wanted to unite his kingdom, so he just brought all the pagan religions, even some from Babel, the false mother and child from Babel, and joined them all together, including the Christians. And that's the Catholic Church. It has no relationship to true Christianity at all. And they want to bring, to believe nothing that brings death to self. Just do a little ceremony and you're okay. You know, go on. But it's not that. The righteous shall live from faith. It's the promises. It's those that are born of the promises that are the people of God. Then the dream changed, and I was in the middle of a busy traffic area looking at my Bible, and the same thing happened. A random man came up and was pointing out the scriptures I had highlighted, in other words, the things that were impressing her and what she believed she was stressing in her life, and so on and so forth, right? And was yelling and railing about it to me. Folks, look out there. There are demons being released into the world. They can be seen in the factious, in the church, and in the government, and in the liberal media. They're unreasonable and railing with no tolerance or forgiveness. They talk about tolerance, but they have never seen it. They don't know it. And this spreads to the listener of their slander like a plague. And this is going to bring persecution to the righteous, because the demons in them hate the righteous above all things. The demons in these people have been especially attacking the man-child, because this man-child is a threat, a big threat, just like Jesus was, right? Because this man-child is Jesus by his word and his spirit living in his first fruits. So that's why they've been going after them. That's Satan. He's trying to take them out. It can't happen, but he's trying. The apostate church has no resistance to this demon attack. and turns on the true Christians, as they have throughout history, which always repeats. Okay? She said, I understood that this was the third time this happened, even though I couldn't remember the second time. Three times it happened to her. So there was a persecution. After the Reformer came to her life, then the persecution came. Okay? Just like the Catholic persecution when it was called the Dark Ages, and how many Protestants they killed and murdered, we don't know. But what I noticed, and by the way, if you look at the letter side of it, how many Jews have the Muslims killed? And Christians have the Muslims killed. And they're the most factious people out there. But what I noticed about my Bible was that there were pages with raw meat on them instead of letters. But the meat was in rows. Well, John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. So meat represents being a doer of the word. People think meat is just, oh, it's just deep revelation. No, it's not. It's doing the word. And James 1:22 says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. See, some people think that all they need is knowledge. No, that's not the reason God gives knowledge. He gives knowledge so that you do the word, right? You can grow up on meat. You'll never grow up just talking about it and arguing about it. And meat in rows means a progressive revelation of the word, like Isaiah 28:13 says, Therefore shall the word of the Lord be unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Which is the way revelation comes. He lays a foundation and he builds on it, right? Amen. And she said it went like a pork chop, a hot dog, and a pork chop. Let me say that those under the letter of the law consider this unclean meat. Pork chops, hot dogs. Right? But God warned Peter about calling meats unclean in Acts chapter 10 and verse 14. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's common and unclean. And a voice came to him again a second time, and God, what God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And it's funny that Peter didn't have this revelation because Jesus had spoken it to him before. Mark 7:18, And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Perceive ye not that whatsoever from without goeth into the man, it cannot defile the man, because it goeth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought. This he said, get this, making all meats clean. The religious Jews would have railed against any fulfilled Jew, meaning a Jew that's been born again, that lives in this freedom, just as the religious men did to Shalanda above. They railed at her because they had their little letter ideas about what it should look like, you know. And, of course, everything Shalanda had was unclean to them. You getting the point? Legalistic people are condemning. They're critical and factious, believing that they have a right to judge others. But they're going to be judged, as Jesus said. Those who do not give grace to others don't get grace. Some people are just ordained to be persecutors and to bring people to their cross. And afterwards, they're just lost forever. Hopefully, some of them will be converted and some of them will, but many are lost. And it was in rows like that throughout the pages. The meat was plastic, but then a person came up and said it was real because when they touched it, their fingers were wet. But I said and thought, no, why would I put real meat in my Bible? Well, some think, like I said, a deep word is meat, but it becomes real meat only when you obey it. You see, real meat. And there was a girl in my dream with braids. She said something while walking towards me, but I don't know what. But I noticed that it was really foggy behind her. There's a lot of people walking through the fog. You know, they just they don't know what's going on. Everything's foggy. The dream changed, and I was in my house in Chicago. My cousin had fallen in the kitchen. The kitchen is where meals are put together, right? Spiritual meals are a matter of putting the word together rightly and rightly dividing the word, right? Some people fall or stumble when they're not assimilating a balance of the word, thinking that taking things out of context for the benefit of the flesh is going to profit them. That's what denominations do. They want it simple. They want it immediate. You tell them, they believe it, and then they don't believe anything else in the Bible but what you told them, because they're idolaters. Right? All religions are idols. All of the word must be considered on any subject, or we fall away from the truth. Psalm 119 and 160 says, "The sum of thy word is truth." The sum, putting it all together, is the truth. Bits and pieces of it don't make the truth. "And every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever." Every one. See, that's the problem you have when you talk to people. You have to first get them to realize that all of the Bible is true. You don't fight Scripture with Scripture because you're saying that the other person's Scriptures are not true. You fit everything together, you know. Every one, he says, "the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever." They're all going to come to pass. You can't say, "No, I don't believe that. No, we don't believe that. My pastor doesn't believe that. Our religion don't believe it." Don't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's a moot point. It's going to happen. You're going to be judged by the word, so you better believe it all, right? She said, "My auntie had helped him up. He was rubbing his ear, crying. What I noticed, though, was that he had a bump on his head. My auntie told him to use the ice that he was using for something else, to use it on his for his head." Well, ice, I believe, represents the solid word. The washing of the water of the word, the solid word, which we should hear to avoid needless injury to our minds, the bump on the head, right? Because there are people so corrupted in their mind that they can't hear the truth anymore. They don't have ears to hear. And they're so impressed with what they know, and they're so proud of what they know, that you can't tell them anything. Oh, it's a trap. My grandma was there too, but she didn't say anything. So, the righteous forsake sin, but the wicked just love it, and they're going to justify it no matter what. Eve Brast had a dream that I can't share it all with you because don't have time to do that, but I'd like to share a piece of it with you. I'm not going to change the meaning in any way by doing that, but it certainly fits what's going on. She said, "I dreamed I was in David's house." Again, I'm abbreviating this a little bit. It wasn't the same house that he lives in real life. I believe it's the spiritual house made up of people, not a building, right? David was teaching all the UBM brethren that were inside and outside of the house. And I believe that's talking about local and larger UBM. Okay? We could all hear him no matter where we were. Everyone was going about their tasks around the house while we listened. And of course they do. They got their iPods and everything, you know, they listen. everywhere, just like that. I walked up to David to ask him a question about the future. And he said, "We're all going to be tested." Listen, saints, this is a revelation of what's coming. We're all going to be tested. Jesus warned of a test too. Peter denied the Lord, flunked his test. He didn't flunk everything, but he did flunk that test. And also in Mark 14 and 50, it says, "And they all left him and fled." In other words, they didn't want to go to the cross. "And a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body. And they laid hold on him, but he left the linen cloth and fled naked." And I think the linen cloth represented righteousness, and he gave up his righteousness because he feared to go to his cross. That's where they were taking Jesus, right? So, David went on to say here, everyone needs to study. This is not going to be easy. He was very serious and had a concerned tone in his voice. Yes, I hate to see people fail. It's miserable to me. I don't sleep good when people fail. I asked him a couple of more questions, but he just emphasized that we just all needed to take it seriously and really study. Yep, you need to study for this test. You need to be ready to act upon the Word of God. You need to humble yourself to the Word of God. You need to lose your life. You have to be willing to go to your cross, whatever God demands. Don't dodge the Word so that you can, in your thinking, dodge trouble or tribulation or persecution. I decided that I had better start right away. So I walked down the hallway to go and study for the test. There was a guest bathroom to my right as I went down the hallway, and I thought, I'd better use the restroom before I go to study and take the test. Well, you know, this is a very, very good point. We have to get rid of any waste or sin, useless stuff in our lives, to prepare for this test. All this will drag you down. And David went on to say, I don't know how long it will last, how long the test will last, right? I could also see through the wall. There was a factious leader that we all know who was crawling along the side of the house and going into a little crawl space door that led underneath the house. I noticed the toilet began leaking out onto the floor from the base of the toilet and threatening to soil my shoes and pant legs. I began yelling and pointing at the base of the toilet for someone to come and take a look at it. Leon then said, "Oh, I see," and he picked up the toilet and moved it over to look closer at the installation. The whole story, if you put it all together, it's we got a good laugh about it the other night. It was good. When he did this, the floor opened up to about 3 by 3 foot square opening. And the first thing I saw was that there were no sewage pipes going from the toilet to the septic system. It was just all falling down underneath the house. And then I saw a factious leader we know acting like an animal down in the crawl space of the house. This is the one that crawled in through the door and into the crawl space. We know this guy. And this is him for sure. His latest attack has been seen and revealed by the rest of this dream, which I'm not going to share with you right now, not yet anyway. He was crouched down and covered with filth, and all of his teeth were sharpened to points, which is the way predators' teeth are created, right? He had completely lost his mind and was living down in the crawl space under David's house. He looked up at us and tried to protect his eyes from the light coming from the restroom. Then he hissed and growled at us like a wild cat and tried to crawl further under the house where it was darker. I felt so sorry for him because of the state that he was in. It was very pitiful. He had sabotaged the piping by dismantling them. Well, here's some things that came to me which this dream identifies. He is constantly trying to infect the bride with faction so she doesn't get rid of the waste or sin. He partakes of the same sins that we get rid of. He's afraid of the light or the truth and is comfortable with sin. He is always looking for sin to accuse others with, even though he's living in filth. It appears that he is reprobated like Judas. Okay. Well, Brandy got, by faith at random, John 13 and 27. And after the sop, of course the sop was bread, right? Then that you sopped up the juice, right? After the sop, then entered Satan into him. Now his finger was on entered. Okay? Sop, which I quote what the Lord said to me one time, son of perdition. Sop, son of perdition. That won't work in the Hebrew, I know it, but the Lord designed the English too. And it was said of Judas, he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. And of course, that's what this guy did, and all the people he deceived. Jesus therefore saith unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. He knew Judas had a job to do. It was to crucify the man-child, and so on. Now Jesus knew who Judas was, and we do too. He has eaten our bread. Eve saw him totally demon-possessed, growling. Judas went to the Pharisees to sell Jesus, the man-child. And so did this guy. He revealed to the Pharisees where Jesus and the disciples were in the garden. He then led them to the Garden of Gethsemane to take him. And then Judas hung himself with his own hands. So, there's a lot of people that are going to come out of faction. They're going to come out of bondage to these very corrupt people. The Lord is going to open their eyes. He's going to deliver them. But there are some that will be reprobated. They are Judases. They're not just Peters who fail and deny the Lord and get back up. They're Judases who don't ever get back up. And so she asked for a word for the test and got 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 in context, verse 1 and 2. She said, my finger was on, hold fast the test. This is what you have to do to pass the test, right? The whole chapter is a good admonishment. Verse 1 says, be ye imitators of me. Here's what we have to do to pass the test. He didn't say imitators of your pastor, right? But imitators of me. Of course, that's why we study the Word. We study the Word to become familiar with the writer so that we can hear His voice and follow Him. Jesus said that His sheep wouldn't hear the voice of these fakes. They would hear only His voice. Well, folks, there's a lot of people listening to these fakes. That doesn't qualify you to be Jesus' disciple. You must come out from among them. If a person like this person in this revelation here teaches you only to hate an individual, not to study the Word, not to submit to the Word, not to obey the Word, this man has taught other people how to steal, how to lie, how to slander. This person is guilty of physical death of other people who were only escaping death because they were forgiving. But when they ran into him, they received these spirits of criticism and anger and unforgiveness and died. And we even had dreams that they were going to die because of this. This person is guilty of the blood of the saints. And he's not alone. He represents a lot of other people out there that are doing the same thing. In fact, this person is guilty of two physical deaths that I know of. And a lot of spiritual deaths. And we've received a lot of dreams on this person. Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that you remember me in all things, and hold fast the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. Our test is, are we going to feed from heavenly places in Christ so that we don't fall away? Or are we going to be like the dog returning to his vomit? Because all of these people have returned to their vomit. So you're going to be tested. You're going to have people, very obnoxious people, who are going to try to cause you to fall. Did you notice in the election how the media had these spirits in them of slander and corruption and criticism and unforgiveness and anger? And they passed it on to people that listened to them. That's how you receive. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The devil also speaks words that are spirit and life, but not the kind of life that you want. When you listen to people that have demons, that's how they enter. They're tempting you to disobey the Word, to receive accusations without witnesses. A factious person after first and second admonition refuse. If you listen to that garbage that the national media, that's what I call them, the mainstream media, spews out, you're going to be angry with Trump in particular, or anybody conservative. They're totally infected with these demons. And the people that receive those demons, you will notice they've even watched them on TV. They've interviewed them. They think it's okay to interview crazy people like this that want to murder Trump, that want to do evil, that don't care. We just went through a vote. They don't care what the people want. They have their opinion what has to happen. They're a bunch of communists. And by the way, that's just like Islam. Same thing. They don't believe in democracy. And these people, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of them have expressed a desire to kill Trump and our illegal president himself, that's in there now, has not arrested one of them. That would have never gotten away with that just a very short time ago. That's how demon-possessed their factious leader is, and they are. Okay? So you need to continue to pray for Trump. He needs your support, your prayers. Pray in particular to the CIA, it appears, has planned a coup against Trump. They've done it before. They've killed presidents before. And yes, there is a branch of them that they practice doing illegal things. You can't practice doing illegal things on other countries and not be corrupted by sin and think it's normal. They think it's normal. They've overthrown nations, one right after another. This is a swamp that needs to be drained. And only God can do this. There are people out there that are in the natural are surprised that Trump could even still be alive. Surprised. They're shocked. Because the CIA's got every kind of killing equipment you can get. And a private army that Trump has around him, there's no way that could even save him. They can microwave your brains blocks away. What is an army going to do for you? You know why they're so surprised? Because God is keeping the man alive. His private army's not going to do it. They'll take out the whole building. We've had the dreams. But they can't. Because God's people are praying. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Please continue to pray. Okay? The CIA has planned a coup. And Trump wants to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Praise be to God. It's exactly what he needs to do. Then get out of the UN. It's the beast. And Israel too. And if they go through with this demand that Israel give up their land to the Palestinians, they need to be out of the UN. Not sure they'll do it, but I think it'd be a very good thing. I want to say this, that all they've got to do to incur the judgment on the nations, all these nations are going to incur judgments on themselves, okay? All they've got to do is come up with the demand. They don't have to apply it. Japan did not apply what they said they were going to do on behalf of the Palestinians against the Israelis. All they had to do is speak it. When they spoke it, the judgment came. Chile, same situation. All they had to do was speak it, and the judgment came. They didn't have to apply it. They didn't even have to bring it to pass. So now they're going to vote on whatever they're doing right now in order to formulate a two-state solution and give up Israel's land. Okay, so I can't prove that this is going to happen now. It's a possibility. It's a good possibility. We'll see. I don't know why the nations would follow Obama. He's failed at everything. Why they would do it, except that he's demon-possessed and they are too. So pray and pray for this inauguration. It could be a very dangerous situation, and I'm sure that without Christ, he wouldn't survive it. There are people going there with express purpose of making sure that this inauguration does not happen. So, these people are all factious people, obviously. They're hateful people. And I believe what we've looked at today just may be speaking of a judgment that will come upon them. The same with this factious person that we were talking about, this factious leader. Judgment. Of course, you can see in the dream that reprobation has come upon this one. That's a pretty bad judgment right there. That's like hanging yourself. You're dead to God, dead to his kingdom, and no interest. Afraid of the light, don't like the light, pained by the light, headed for the darkness, right? So pray for the man-child, pray for the Trump, pray down the factions on both sides in the government and in the church. Pray it down. Cast it down. In the name of Jesus, cast it down. I opened my Bible and looked down on a verse today that I wrote a note next to it back on 11 and 12. That was the date I looked down on it, and it's verse 11 and it's chapter 11 and verse 12. 11, 12, 16. I wrote the note. So I thought, okay, this is for now. My question was, will you give me authority, faith, and mercy to take down the faction? First thing I got was four heads in a row to answer the yes. And then I got this verse, 11 and 12, 2 Kings 11 and 12. Then he brought out the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." Now, this was the king, of course, the son of Athaliah's son who was killed when she went about to kill all of the seed royal. She missed one son, just like Herod did. He missed one son, and that was the son that was the man child, Jesus. And she missed one son, and that son represents that. Yep, the dragon devoured a lot of people. There were brethren of the man child. The faction devoured a lot of them that were brethren of the man-child. But they didn't get the man-child. So, you pray. Pray for the man-child. Pray for the casting down of these Edomites. He said, we have authority to do that. And he gave me four heads for yes, and he gave me that verse. That's so clear, isn't it? Well, Father, we thank you. You are so awesome. You are just so awesome, Lord. You prove your word, and you are a mighty Savior. You're going to save Trump, and you're going to save the man-child, and you're going to cast down Edom. You're going to cast down Ishmael. You're going to save these people. You're going to deliver them. You're going to knock them demons out of them. Thank you, Father. We believe you. We receive this miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, saints, God bless you and keep you. Please keep us in your prayers. And there's some exciting days coming. Happy days coming. You're going to see God have mercy upon his people, deliver them out of bondage to Babylonish religion and faction and everything, and save them in the days to come with a wonderful, wonderful revival. Thank you, Lord. Amen.